On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. What advice do you have for others in the field, either young coaches that might want to come in and be your assistant someday or older coaches that have been around a while? Just any advice that you have for us?
This one, I feel like I'll get random Instagram DMs or emails, somebody reaching out to my dad or some, like, how did you get the job you have? Like, and it's usually like a high school kid or a young college kid, like just trying to figure out how to get into the field. I feel like it's a conversation I have with our interns at Fort Myers every year. Like, I think something they need to realize that if they want to be in strength and conditioning and make it last and stick and be sustainable, like, there needs to be no half measures. Like, you either need to be in or you're not in. Because if you're not sure about it, like, there's more competent people trying to get jobs in the field than there are jobs. So at the end of the day, you got to do whatever you can to separate yourself and make yourself more appealing to actually be able to break in. You need internships that stick out and are going to jump out. So if someone gets 100 resumes, they're like, ooh, this person was at this facility, or I know somebody from this college, or that's a really respected spot. Like, you need things that are going to help you jump out. Like, you need to work for people that have a social network to help you. Like, I always joke that, like, I thought I had a really good resume. Like, I had 5 internships. I interned in SEC football and at Mike Boyle's, and I applied to like 15 minor league baseball jobs 8 years ago when I was trying to break in. And the only team that called me back was the Red Sox. And that's because I was lucky enough to have Mike Boyle. So, like, if you need things that differentiate your resume, or it truly is really hard to get in. Like, if I don't have Mike Boyle or like a former Gamecock intern that being the AAA strength coach, like, I don't know if I ever even get an interview here. I might be in physical therapy or working in hockey. Like, who knows where I'd be? Like, so I think you just need to go all in. You need to understand there's, like, social, you're going to step back socially at times, or like some certain relationships are going to be harder. And that doesn't mean that's right. But, like, you need to realize, like, that's part of the job sometimes. And it's a sacrifice you're going to have to make if you do want to be in this field longer term. And sometimes I'll put interns on the spot when they're in the internship. Like, I try to push guys to think about if they want to work pro, if they want to work college, if they want to work private, like, what path they want to go down. And I try to just lay it out honestly for them. Like, you'll have stability being in one place if you do this. You're going to move around if you do that. Like, think about your relationship with your girlfriend now, or the girlfriend you don't have yet. Like, think about these things now, because it's better thinking about it when you're 21 years old than when you're 30. And it's really important stuff to consider, because, like, you're trying to pick a career that you're going to be in for the rest of your life, or at least for the foreseeable future. So I think things like that are really important to consider, and consider early.
Yeah. I mean, even if you look at pro ball, right? Like, it went from some seasonal coaches, you know what I mean, to some full-time to all full-time. It's getting harder and harder, and the people that are getting hired for the entry-level positions, you know, the first year pro ball strength coaches, are more and more qualified, right? Like, it's getting really hard to get, especially in professional baseball. And so that's the thing, is for me, like, when I was in grad school, I knew I wanted to make it to the big leagues, right away. Like, I was working with baseball, I had played baseball, and I was like, my decisions are going to be geared towards that, right? Like, our head guy there had a little bit of pro ball experience. When I was picking an internship, I actually agreed to go to one place, and then I got accepted to go somewhere else. And I told the first place, like, hey, I have to go to this other place because the guy there, like, I need to be under this person, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of those kind of were geared towards, like, getting into pro ball, getting to the big leagues eventually. And I was the same. Like, I applied all over the place, and the Pirates ended up calling me for a seasonal job. And the reason they told me that they were intrigued was because I was valedictorian of my high school, and it was something out of the ordinary. You know what I mean? It happened to be on my cover letter or whatever. And they're like, we like this and we figured we'd give you a call. And like, thankfully it worked out for me. Now I have tried other things, right? I've tried the college. I've tried the high school private setting. I've tried pro ball. And thankfully this has stuck for me. But to your point about like sacrifices, I mean, we still make sacrifices, right? I'm in the big leagues. I'm 30 years old. And like, we go on 10-day road trips on the West Coast and I don't talk to my wife for 10 days. You know what I mean? Because the time difference, and we don't have kids, but there's other strength coaches who have kids who don't see their kids when they go on the road. And I mean, it is a really good life, right? And it is really fun. And this is exactly what I wanted. But it is something you have to think about, right? Like, you have to have the right support system. You have to be willing to make sacrifices. They have to be willing to accept your sacrifices. There's a lot of things that go into specifically in pro ball. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't for you. But again, sometimes it's hard to like assess those things when you're young, right? Like, I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a math teacher and I wanted to coach baseball. And I was valedictorian and my dad was like, dude, you can go do anything. And I was like, yeah, but that's what I want to do. Like that. And he was like, well, what about kinesiology? And I was like, I don't know what that is. And he's like, well, you like working out, you like sports. Like, why don't you go do this? I'm like, dad, I'm not going to do that. Like, but it was because I wasn't willing to listen. You know, I was young and I thought I knew everything. And I think when you're young in the field and you're an intern, like, you don't care about like financial stability. You don't care about being married. You don't care about like setting roots down somewhere. You're just like, nah, I just want to coach athletes. And it's like, well, you can do that in a lot of different ways. Like, you have to think about all these other things. It's more than just surface level. I want to make an impact. It's like, well, you want to make an impact and sacrifice your life. Do you want to have a life and then kind of impact? Like, there's all those things. So it is valuable to have those conversations. And at the same time, I feel like it's so hard like you said, some of us have certain personality types where we can look 10 years in the future and just gear everything towards that. And it's fine. And like, tunnel vision it. But some people I have to live now. 10 years from now, I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a lot of those people that ask you those questions are young. Some people have never put them on the spot like that or made them think about it. So they've just never even had the thoughts enter their head. Like you said, like, a lot of people are young and are like, oh, I want to train pro athletes. And like, it sounds super cool on outside looking in. And it is. But like, people don't think about the other sacrifices or the hours or geographically how challenging it can be at times. So like, I think when someone actually puts you on the spot and makes you think like, oh, if I do this, like, I really do need to think about this, this, and this. Cause it's very rare that you get that perfect job right where you grew up. And like it's just not that common. So like, it's just something you really need to consider. And a book I tell almost every single one of these people to read is CEO Strength Coach by Ron McKeefery, because it does put a lot of those questions in your head. Things to think about when you're an intern, things to think about once you're entry level, and things to think about once you become a manager. And it starts laying out that big picture of what the field is for you. And something you just brought up, resumes. That's something that I kind of forgot about that I think is important to hit on. Like, you and I both are part of, on different levels, like the hiring process for the Red Sox. And like employers look for reasons to go through resumes. And like, if you have mistakes on your resume, something that so many young coaches screw up is their resume. And like, without going into too much detail, like, we've had some crazy stories of stuff we found on resumes. Like, you have somebody applying for a minor league strength and conditioning job, and they'll have their first job as a construction company with 6 bullets. And then you get to the second page and it's like, oh, they interned for the Marlins for a year and they got 1 bullet on it. It's like, you got to like think about who you're applying to and what's going to stick out to them. And like, we don't care if you built decks, like, we care that you work for the Marlins. You know what I mean? Like, so like, figuring out, like, not having typos, having it look organized, like having it highlight all your relevant experience, going out and seeking that experience and the certifications, or knowing what's important to the employer. Like, those are the things that are going to get you hired. And like for whoever that guy was, like, just think about it. Like, you could have great experience and it could get buried just because you're not putting a piece of paper together correctly.
Yeah, you have to think there's, for any position, there's hundreds of applicants, right? And it's like you said earlier, how do you make yourself stand out? Because the reality is, like, if I have 200 resumes, like, I may look at it really quick. And if I see the first thing is, in your example, oh, Marlins, boom, I want to talk to this person because they've yeah. done pro ball, right? If I see construction worker, like, that's not to belittle construction. It's an amazing thing. It's just correct. For the job we're hiring, like, I got to move this to the side because I got 199 more resumes to look at. You know what I mean? It's quick. Yeah. It's quick. It's little things like that. And again, when you're young, like, I don't know if you think about that. And the reality is, like, I made those mistakes too, right? Like, the first internship I applied to, like, I had very little experience going into it. And I was that person. I was like, I want to help athletes. I want to impact athletes, especially baseball players. Mm-hmm. But I'm cringing inside just thinking about the first resume I sent to apply for an internship. And I'm like, wish I could just go back and, like, delete that memory from my mind. But it's like, it haunts me all the time, but it helps me, like, okay, when I set up my resume now, like, think of all the mistakes you made then, like, don't make them again. You know what I mean? And then the other thing, going back to, you know, like, sacrificing and things like that, is one of the things somebody told me is, like, fans don't realize what happens behind the scenes with players, right? And it goes the same with, like, somebody comes to you and they're like, yeah, I want to be a pro ball strength coach. So the reality is, like, when you're a fan, you turn the TV on at 7 o'clock and your favorite team is there, right? And you watch the game. And then when the game's over, you turn the TV off, you go to bed. But you don't think about what happened to get that team there, right? Like, we play in Oakland. Okay, well, we had to fly to Oakland. We had to take a 6-hour flight there, right? Or, hey, we play in Tampa tomorrow and tonight we're playing at home against the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball at 7 o'clock. So our flight leaves at 1 a.m. We land in Tampa at 4. We get to the hotel at 5 and we play that night, right? All you see is the product on the field at 7 o'clock and then you turn the TV off. But you never really think about, like, the travel that it took to get there and all the practice and all the work that we did before the day. And this is not complaining. It's just the reality is, like, as a fan, you don't see that, right? So as a young strength coach, you're like, I want to work pro ball. But you don't think about all the behind the scenes stuff, right? You just see, I want pro ball. I want professional basketball. I want to be in the NFL. I want to be in the NHL. And that's fine. They're all very, like, they're awesome jobs, right? It's not complaining. It's just, you're looking at the surface and there's so much underneath it that you have to understand, you have to appreciate, and you have to weigh out the options of, like, am I going to be willing to do this? Am I going to be willing to move across the country and then move again? I mean, my wife and I have moved, we're in our third place in Boston. So our second year here, you know, not to mention, like, being in Arizona, being in Florida, being in Buffalo, being in Tennessee, being in Maryland, like, all the moves that we've made, right? Like, when I was looking for an internship in grad school, our guy there was like, don't go anywhere local. We already know all the local people. You're one degree away from all these people. Like, go somewhere far away. So I went to Texas because nobody there knew anybody in Texas. And it was awesome. I was like, oh, now I've been to Texas and I love being in Texas. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. like you said, it's very rare that, like, a job in your hometown pops up and that you have a chance to have it. And, like, it all lines up, right? Like, the reality is that I'd see my family maybe once or twice in the summer, you know what I mean? And then I go visit for a week or whatever in the off season. Like, we talk maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks on FaceTime. I mean, I could definitely do a better job of that, of course, but it's just the reality of this, right? Like, that's just how it is. So sometimes you don't think about all those things as a young coach. And like we said, sometimes it's hard to, just because you're so young and you're eager to get into the field. But anybody listening, like, there is a lot of value in just weighing in all of those, you know, the costs and all of that as well, like, as you're deciding what path you want to take.
Yeah. And it's funny, you talked about, like, fans not knowing what players do. Like, there's players that don't even know what we do. Like, there's still guys that even at our levels are like, you got to the field at what time? I was like, why? It's like, you were here 1 to 3 hours before report. You stay an hour after. Like, why do you do that? It's like, that's what you need to do. Like, you need to have everything ready before they get there, or, like, you're you're behind or you're not doing your job right. And like, that's what it takes to literally be successful in the field. And if you're not willing to do those things, like it's not going to work.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. So let's talk continuing ed. You mentioned that you have like podcasts and books and things like that, that you're kind of checking off each day. So where are you going for continuing ed? Just any books you're reading, seminars you attend in the off season, podcasts to listen to, like give us some good ones that you got for us.
As you know, I'm a huge reader. I could go on and on about books I've read, self-help, S&C, reference, history books. I think the ones that book I'm reading right now is called Four Agreements, which I think has been awesome so far. It's a very simple, quick read, only 2 hours on audiobook, but like it's been pretty, kind of makes you reflect and just think about the world that you live in how you make deals with yourself. Most recent really influential one is I went down a Jordan Peterson rabbit hole in the winter, and just brilliant psychologist. He's got his 12 rules book, but for me, like the more fascinating stuff with him is he's got a lecture series on his Maps of Meaning book about like psychology and life and philosophy. And they're just free on YouTube, and it's just how he used to teach colleges before he was the famous person he is now. Those for me are like fascinating, and I'll go back and watch random ones again. Seminars, I'm always trying to find them online or go to them in person. I think two of the most influential ones for me are, we did Altus as a team with the Red Sox, and that one just got me so far out of my weight room mentality, and like just saw another side of the field that one really clicked and helped me grow. We did that a few years ago, and then did SFMA in the winter, and that one's been kind of a game changer for me. That one got me out of my comfort zone. Like I went, took it in person, and you're around a bunch of other physical therapists, athletic trainers, massage therapists. And like, I was the black sheep in the room. I was the strength coach, and I was super nervous at first. And then as it got going and I was comfortable, like I fit right in, and like learned so much about like table tests and how to go down different pathways. And I think it's been a game changer for me this year. Layering that with like anatomy trains lines, like I think it's just opened a whole new world of like figuring out when a guy's got a little nagging thing and he's coming to you looking for help, like how to really help him a lot quicker in the moment when it's appropriate for him to be working with you and not be sent to like an athletic trainer when it's just like, hey, I want to feel better with the small thing. And then podcasts, I listen to a bunch of podcasts, I try to rotate them. Fitcast is a big one by Kevin Larrabee. He was a strength coach at Boyle's when I was there. Strength Coach Podcast by Boyle. That one's one of my most regular ones. I like Chris Duffin's podcast, Simply Faster. I think those are gold. Cressy's got a lot of really interesting, relevant guests and topics and people he brings on his show. I really like his. Reinold, same thing. That one's a little quicker and easier. Obviously, this one. This one's really good, especially for people working within baseball, just getting to hear perspectives of other people within the sport or how to get in, or the group talks are all really good. So I just kind of try to take a blend. I try to pick blogs that are in different areas. I try to pick books in different areas, podcasts with different specialties. I just try to expose myself to as many things as possible so that when things come up, like I have a big web of things in my brain that I can pull from to know what to do in different situations, or like different things I can learn, or one thing leads to another. That's kind of my approach. I just try to get better as a person and try to follow things that I find interesting and get better at.
Yeah, I like that, getting better as a person and just being well-rounded. I think there are certain strength coaches that'll like, I saw something the other day, it was like, when you pick your, you know, either your West Side or your FRC or your this or you're that, like that's it, that's the only thing that you can use. And it's like, you can use all of these things, right? Like being well-rounded is way better than just going deep down the West Side rabbit hole. And like, I love reading all the West Side books, and most of them, as we've joked about, right, it's like 90% like exactly the same of like dynamic effort, repetition effort, max effort. And then like there's that 10% of like golden nuggets that's what you read the book for. Yeah. Right. And like for me, I take that 10% and then I apply it to the other things that I've learned from the other places, where I think some people take that 90% and they disregard the 10% because that 90% to them is their staple, you know? So it's like being well-rounded in your education and as a person, especially in professional baseball, where some players are older, some players are younger, some players have come from other organizations, different philosophies, and even within, you know, your own organization, right? Like if a guy starts in rookie ball, by the time he gets to the big leagues, like there might've been a coordinator change, there might've been a big league staff change. He probably has had 4 strength coaches at least coming up through the system, if not more. Like those guys are always like every spring training, it's like, oh, where is this guy? Oh, where is that guy? Oh, what happened with this strength coach? Where is that mm-hmm. strength coach? Like, and it's like, well, this guy got a job somewhere else. This guy, you know, decided to do private setting. This, like every spring training, I feel like we have those conversations. So like to be able to effectively work with the players, like I think you just have to have a big tool belt in, especially in professional baseball.
100%.
All right, let's do the lightning round and then we can get going so that we can get to the field early and get things yeah. ready. All right, so first one, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
I thought about this one last night for a bit. I like ran through a few answers, like Cressy and Mladen are two of my bigger influences that I read but don't really know as well. When I was interning, like Joe Connolly, Mike Boyle were two huge ones, like taking me under their wings when I was an intern. Dan Austin, same. Mike Roos was my hiring coordinator. Like he's the one who ultimately gave me my chance in baseball, and he taught me a lot coming up. That one's huge. Yosh is a big one. Like seeing Yosh, how he interacts with people, and like that, how important relationships are. That one's big. I thought long and hard about not doing this because it's like a brown noser thing, but like ultimately, like you and I like have winners where like I'll call you 7 times in a day and just bounce random ideas. And like Karen gets frustrated, your wife, because like there's days where we end up talking to each other more than like you end up talking to her. But like, I don't know, like for years, you've been my guy that I've bounced ideas off. And I feel like we're both similar, but like very different and unique. And like, I feel like we challenge each other, make each other grow. And I don't know, I feel like for 8 years, like you've been my closest person in the field. And I think I'd be lying if I picked anybody else.
See, this is why at the beginning I gave the intro of, hey, I've been bugging you for 5 years to do this. Anybody that knows who we are, like, knows how much we talk and you know, we bounce ideas off of each other. And it's like, oh, what if we try this? What if we try that? And like, even stupid, you know, like stupid stuff like lifting, like, hey, what do you got on this kind of programming or that kind of, like, yeah. I think, like you said, both of us are very like open to different ideas and continuing education. So it's like, hey, I'm reading this. Have you read this? Like I texted you earlier in the year, like, hey, I've been getting into rolling patterns. Like, what do you got on that? You sent me research right away. You know what I mean? Like that's how our relationship has been. So it's like, I don't think it's brown nosing. I think it's just the fact that I've been trying to push you to do this for 5 years. We finally actually did it.
No, it's funny. Right. We can go like a month or two without really talking, or we can call each other 7 times in a day and it just doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I've got a whole list of things.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. If you only had one piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Barbell. Next question.
What is your biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
I think I could go a few different ways with this, but for me, one of the most special ones is 2018 when I was in rookie ball. I had a surprise opportunity to travel with the big league team for 2 weeks, and that was special to me for a lot of reasons. One, I saw Kiyoshi work, like how he works with the big league guys. Like it really changed the way I handled players with for the rest of my career. And as anybody in baseball knows, that was a very special team, 108 wins, like ended up winning the World Series. And for me to get my first ever taste of the big leagues that year and end up getting a World Series ring, like that's just a really special thing to be a part of. And like, no matter what happens to me in my career, if I get fired at the end of the season, like no one can ever take that away, that I got to experience like a team that special. And like that got to be my first taste. And I got to see what I saw when I was there. Like that ring is going to be with me for the rest of my life. And even if I never make it to the big leagues, like at least, like I have that to fall back on. And like, it was just such a special experience for me.
Yeah, that was a cool team. Although they did get no hit while you were there. So
correct.
last one, man, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
So I was a journalism major when I was at UMass, and I wrote for my city newspaper when I was in high school for 3 years. I really wanted to be a sports reporter. That for me was the path I wanted to follow. And I graduated high school in 2009, started college in 2009. That's when a lot of the print newspapers were going under. So I started thinking about like, what are alternatives and like, what else would I want to do? Like if there's no jobs in 4 years when I get out, and I should have a different plan just in case. And luckily for me, UMass, the journalism degree is only 21 credits. So it's relatively easy from a volume standpoint, but they force you to major or minor in something else. So it's kind of like an experience you had with your dad. Like at first I was like, well, what's related to sports that I could follow? And I was like, oh, I'll minor or major in nutrition. And then I was walking to class with my friend, and she was a physical therapy major. And she was like, yeah, she was a kinesiology major who wanted to do physical therapy. And I was like, what is that? She was like, oh, it's like exercise science. And I was like, oh, that sounds like what I actually want to do and not nutrition. And I was just a stupid 18-year-old and didn't know anything. So then I started following that path and eventually developed a passion that outgrew my journalism one. And I didn't know what the market was for jobs in journalism, so I ended up switching. So long roundabout lightning round answer to get to the point. Like, I think if I wasn't doing this, I think I'd be in journalism, either working in sports or writing about travel. I'm pretty passionate about travel as well. So I think I'd be doing one of those two things.
I think you could use that prior, right? It's like eventually if you have a blog or whatever, like yeah. Being able to use your journalism background can certainly help you with that for sure.
Yeah. At a certain point, once I'm confident, I have a good 10,000 hours on me. I'd like to start a blog at some point. That's definitely something I think is going to help me for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Dude, this was everything I hoped it was going to be and more. It's been 5 years in the making. Like I said, I really appreciate you coming on. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we get more? Social media the best place, or is there somewhere else to get you?
Easiest way is Instagram, B Chadwick. More personal Instagram than a professional one. You can always reach out to me. Email's probably the easiest way. Benny Chadwick, BennyChadwick @gmail.com. And might take me a little bit, especially if I'm in season, but I usually try to reach out to anybody that tries to get in touch with me or pick my brain for whatever. So
awesome. Dude, I appreciate it. Thank you. And we'll probably catch up in the next 40 seconds here.
Thanks for having me. Sorry it took so long.
All good. It was well worth the wait, my friend.
I'm glad.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude this episode with Ben. I hope you enjoyed this one. Again, this was another one that was a little bit outside of just the normal X's and O's of strength and conditioning, but I think there was a lot of really good information to take both from this one and from part one, you know, with the personality typing stuff in part one, and just talking sacrifices and resumes and just outside of the box stuff in this one. I think you can see why Ben and I have gotten along so well for so many years, because we can just talk about anything. So like I said, I hope you enjoyed this one. The three things that I took from Ben in this one: there are sacrifices that you will need to make if you want to be in this field long term. Gear your actions and your decisions towards the end goal that you're looking to achieve, and a solid resume will help you make a good first impression. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.